Hello and welcome to the latest NWSL preview show. Once again, I am joined by my friend JJ Duke, who has been working with me all week up to now. JJ, how you doing?
Keeping strong, just keeping strong.
Keeping strong. The stamina is there and the coffee is flowing because this
coffee
is a...
Coffee is in fact flowing. This tea is a, I know on your end, but coffee on my end.
Tea on our end being British, coffee being over there in the States. Well, we are on our fourth preview show, having already previewed Boston Breakers, Chicago Red Stars and the Houston Dash. And we move on to the champions, FC Kansas City. Phenomenal last year, beating Seattle Reign in the NWSL Championship game. JJ set the standard last year, granted finished behind Seattle Reign in the league, but it's the team that wins the championship who people remember. What are we expecting from them this year?
You know, they just play a very good brand of soccer, Kieran. They put the ball on the ground and they're going to play. Lots of free-flowing. Obviously, it also helped when you have Amy Rodriguez bagging 16 goals in the regular season and then getting, you know, just continuing on that form into the postseason. It helped. You know, they got a little bit of a revenge from 2013, where in that semifinal round, they played strong for 30 minutes and then let the Thorns come right back in their backyard, knot things up, win it in extra time, and eventually go on to win the league in 13. Put it away early last year in the semifinals and then went up to Seattle. Shaky at the end, but like you said, doesn't matter how it happens as long as it happens. And, you know, FCKC are your defending champions, and I wouldn't be surprised if they are at least back into the playoffs this season.
When you mention the name FC Kansas City, the word that springs to mind is respect. Speak to coaches, fellow professionals, journalists, fans, and they all admire FC Kansas City for what they did last season and the season before. Why do you think that is?
You know, I think it's everyone kind of works around a common goal. And, you know, likewise, for you, I've had the opportunity to speak with players, with the coaching staff, with the organization, and they all just buy into the system. And that's, you know, at the end of the day, we know sports. If you can buy into what the organization is preaching, what the coaches are asking, the players will respond, and it's a good group that they have in Kansas City, and they, you know, just execute it on the field, and if you can continue to win games, you're going to draw fans and you're going to win championships and at least put yourself in situations to do so.
I think what was all the more, from my opinion, what was all the more impressive for FCKC last year was there was a lot of talk at the start of the season about the loss of Desiree Scott and about the loss of Lauren Sesselman and how they would cope with that. But you look at that spine that they had last year, Nicole Barnhart in goal, Becky Sauerbrunn, centre-back, Lauren Holliday, midfield, Amy Rodriguez, striker. That spine was hugely influential in them winning that championship, wasn't it?
No, I absolutely agree. I mean, you look at Barnhart in net, always a capable professional, has proved it anytime she takes on the pitch, no matter which era of United States women's professional soccer leagues around, she's going to do the job. Becky Sauerbrunn, class. You know, we've seen her game just rise to levels that, you know, for some people may have never thought of happened. Lauren Holliday, the classy playmaker, you know, being the aggressor, puts the ball on the ground, spreads the field, can shoot when she wants, and, you know, the return of Amy Rodriguez. Now, you know, again, remember, she missed all of 2013, originally was supposed to play with Seattle, then got traded, and a lot of people were wondering, will she come back as good as she was before then? Well, 16 goals again in the regular season. A forward's job is to put the ball in the back of the net, and she did just that.
We talked earlier in the week about the Boston Breakers and their, so we say, lack of allocated international players, which may actually play into their hands because they're not going to lose a huge number of the squad to the World Cup. FCKC have got their US internationals, but I'm going to reel off some players that aren't going to be going to the World Cup, or certainly are unlikely to. Sarah Hagen, Amy Lapelbet, Erica Timrak, Yael Averbuch, Leanne Robinson, Jen Bukowski. Those are some impressive names that are going to be available throughout the whole season, and that gives them a really good platform, doesn't it, to really be competitive again this year?
No, if you have that experience, it only helps. You look down, up and down each team's rosters, and you know, that this is going to be the theme of the season, as we already talked about, who's going to have that that good enough core to weather a storm in that beginning part of the season. You're going to have national team players kind of just making cameo appearances within the team. Now, they're going to be playing in the games, but you know, how much are they going to be available to practice? You know, things like that. How can teams adapt to those situations? And then, you know, in the tune-up, in the lead-up before the World Cup, how good are teams going to be going into that setup? And I think, despite how many players FC Kansas City are going to have unavailable in that lead-up, you look at the rest of the roster, and just from those names that you said, and in fairness, you're missing a couple, because you know there are plenty of more players that are experienced. Beckham Moros, Liz Bogus, those are players that have been around for a while. And then you see some of the younger players that are just coming in. You know, those are players that, you know, you could see Vlatko Ananovsky in draft day. He was smiling, knowing that he got the players that he exactly wanted that fit their system.
Do we think, based on what we've discussed, and we haven't even mentioned the fact that they probably made arguably the biggest trade of the offseason in acquiring Heather O'Reilly, do we think that they are in a position to challenge again and potentially reclaim their crown?
You know, you always have to give the benefit of the doubt to the champions that they're going to find a way to get themselves back into the playoffs. And at that time, they're going to be at full strength. Now, of course, it's hard to gaze into the crystal ball and see, you know, who's going to be healthy, who's going to come off the World Cup in good form, who's not going to have a, for lack of better terms, a good quality tournament, who may, you know, carry that over into the NWSL season. It's going to be tough to predict that. But with that being said, I think it'd be hard to bank against FCKC to at least get themselves with another chance at a title.
Well, one player that we haven't mentioned is US Women's National Team keeper Nicole Barnhart. Now, granted, it does appear that she's a little bit out of the picture at the moment and has fallen behind Ashlyn Harris and Alyssa Nair in the pecking order. Obviously, I haven't mentioned Hope Solo, but everyone knows that she is Jill Ellis's number one. But we managed to catch up with Nicole Barnhart, didn't we? And we had a chat with her about the upcoming season and a little bit about the US Women's National Team. And here's what she had to say. So JJ and I are now joined on this NWSL preview show for FC Kansas City by their number one goalkeeper, Nicole Barnhart. Nicole, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
You are more than welcome. We are honoured to have you. I guess where I would start with this interview is to ask how pre-season has been going for you personally and for FC KC, and how excited you and the squad are for the upcoming campaign.
Pre-season's been going well. We've been very fortunate with some nice warm weather here, which has gotten us outdoors a little bit more than we have past years, so that's been nice. But we've been in for a couple of weeks now, going very hard, lots of double days, but it's good to be back in with the team and the group. We have some new faces in camp, which has changed things up a little bit, but still a lot of our core from last year, and everybody came in fit, working hard, which is always a plus because you can kind of get going harder, faster, and build into things a little faster than normal.
I'm curious to find out, Nicole, after last season, obviously, with winning the title, you know, how was that managing, you know, that short span of the playoffs and, you know, bringing that experience going forward? Like you said, a little bit of a different core of the group, but still a good amount of players coming back. So, you know, what was that like?
You know, obviously our goal going into last season was to finish what we didn't quite finish that first season, having lost in the semifinals. So our goal, you know, from the start of preseason last year was to get to that final game, you know, set ourselves up to get to that final game and have a chance to win it. And, you know, I think one of the things that our team is strong at is playing good soccer. We'll knock the ball around, we'll keep possession, and from that we create scoring opportunities. And just to see, you know, all that kind of build and progress as the season went on and see the quality soccer that we were able to play in that final as well as get the win was awesome. And obviously, you know, we're coming into this season with high hopes to build off of that championship from last year and go in with the expectation of getting back to the final again this year.
I have to ask also, Nicole, was it a little bit of sweet irony and justice that you guys played Portland in the semifinals again at home, again in 100-degree heat, but, you know, finishing the job a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. I think we all were kind of excited to get a chance to almost redeem ourselves from that prior year, having lost in the semifinals. You know, obviously it was another very tough game against a good team in some pretty tough climate, you know, with the 100-degree weather. So to come out on top this last time definitely felt a little better than the prior year.
Nicole, as champions going into the 2015 campaign, do you feel like the team has got a target on its back now? Teams are going to be gunning for you. They're going to want to beat you. JJ and I were talking earlier, and we were saying that when you mention FC Casey, the word that comes to mind is respect, because people admire the way that you go about things, the football that you play. But being champions, do you feel that pressure now of teams gunning for you and wanting to really beat you?
Yeah, I think being champions definitely, but I also think even just going into last season, having come off a very strong season playing some good soccer, that we had a little bit of a target on our backs even then. So I think building on, you know, the style of soccer that we do play and the fact that we also won the championship last year puts a little bit more of a target on our backs. But there's some quality teams in the league, and it's not going to be easy to repeat for sure, but that's definitely our goal.
One thing that I'm curious, coming into this season, this group has some young faces, but I remember distinctly on draft day, you know, the head coach, Vlatko Ananovsky, saying that he got the players that he exactly wanted to, you know, fit into positions that during times where national team players will be called up to camp, they can fill those roles. So how do you feel, especially in the preseason so far, that some of these younger players are, you know, meshing in with the group?
You know, the coaches do a very good job of doing research and finding just the players that they want that are out there to pick from, and they've done it the past two seasons, and this season included, bringing those players in to fit into the style of play that they want to play, and they're not willing to change that. They have, you know, that style in mind, and they bring in the players that are able to do that. And, you know, there's some definitely some young faces in there that I think can step in and make a difference and make an impact. You know, they've done well in camp so far, and I think, you know, all around, our camp has been very competitive, which is great. That's what you want to see.
With the World Cup coming up and players likely to be away, how important is it that the squad as a whole is ready and the squad as a whole is in a position to step into positions that become available so that you are able to compete and you are able to get a good start? Because there's a likelihood is that you're not going to have some of your US women's national team players available at the start of the season, and they might not be available until the second half. So how important is it to get a quick start, and how important is it that the squad as a whole is ready to fill in some of those positions?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, gonna be a little different this year. You're almost having to build your team around your non-national team players, I think, just with them being gone so much. There's going to be so many games where they're not available and your non-national team players are going to have to step in. And I think the big thing is being able to get results in those games when they are not there, so that when they do come back and step in and our team is that much stronger, that we have a strong foundation to build from and go on and win more games.
JJ?
The final question that I have for you, Nicole, a little more off the beaten path, but more so about this season. Team, third year, third different venue. You guys open up at Sporting Park, the home for Sporting Kansas City, and then a new field at Swope Soccer Village, Grassfield as well. Talk about a little bit of those surroundings. Have you guys seen the new facility yet? And, you know, what are your, you know, hopes and anticipations about that?
Yeah, I think change is something that comes as part of building a new league. We're trying to get ourselves each year into the best possible situation to grow the team and grow the club and, you know, have the best ability to perform to our fullest potential. And I think we're all very excited. You know, it seems like a long preseason and we still have another 2 weeks to go till that opening game at Sporting Park. But I know we're all pretty amped up to get in there for that opener. We got to go out to a Sporting game the other night and be honored there at halftime. And I think just to be down on the field in that environment, you know, just gets you a little more eager to be out there. But yeah, I think the field is a step up. It's going to be grass. It's a very nice grass facility, which will be nice to be on, especially, you know, once the weather start heating up and not having to be on that hot turf. And it's a little bit of a smaller venue, but it'll be a nice, I think, kind of quaint little environment to play in. And we're training over on their facilities pretty much daily. So we've seen it. And we had actually a game last preseason on what will be our game field this year. So some of us are aware of what we'll be in. But, yeah, I think we're all very eager to get going at both those new places.
Nicole, I have to ask a question that you may wish not to answer. You mentioned that you're having to build the team essentially around your U.S., well, your non-U.S. women's national team players. You haven't been involved in any of Jill Ellis's squads recently. I'm just wondering how you're going into this season, whether you're thinking about not only performing well for FC Casey, but also potentially for Jill Ellis if she does come and watch any games, or whether she is sending scouts, or whether you've kind of not given up, but whether you've accepted that maybe it's not going to happen for the World Cup and your primary focus is on FC Casey.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I've given up, but, you know, the few camps that I have been in this year, I feel like I've performed well. And, you know, she's the coach. It comes down to the decisions of who she decides she wants in there. So for me, I'm just going out and focusing, you know, on myself and the team here and, you know, what's in my control. And I want to help our team win another championship. And if that means along the way I do get pulled in for camps or in that, you know, final World Cup squad, then I would be very excited about that. But at this point, it's pretty out of my control, and I'm just kind of going with what's happening here.
So I guess my final question would be, if you had one aim, hope, or aspiration for the upcoming NWSL season, what would it be?
Win another championship.
Good answer. Good answer. Excellent. Nicole, been an absolute pleasure. Really, really good to have you on this episode of Women's Soccer Zone. And I think people will admire your honesty and also your insight into FC Casey. So we look forward to seeing you between the pipes when you kick off in a week or two.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Women's Soccer Zone. Follow the show on Twitter at WOSOZone.
So that was Nicole Barnhart being very honest and giving us some good insight into the FC Casey squad and the season ahead. JJ, that is show number 4 down. We are 4 down, 5 to go. You hanging in okay there, buddy?
Yeah, how about yourself? You doing good?
Yeah, I'm just about. The tea is still flowing, although I will be honest, 5 teams to go. My enthusiasm is in no way evaporating. So I would encourage listeners to tune in tomorrow. We will be bringing you the Portland Thorns. So we will have the Portland Thorns for you in tomorrow's show, previewing their upcoming campaign. As we've mentioned previously, they're going to be losing a lot of players to the World Cup, so it'll be interesting to see how they perform. But that's it from me and JJ on this occasion, and we will speak to you all tomorrow.